The old joke about California falling into the sea from an earthquake is not as funny as it may have been once, if it was even funny then, because now sea levels are rising, putting the coastline and millions of people who live near it at risk. The risk is especially acute in Humboldt County on the far north coast of California, because while the water is on the way up, the land is actually on the way down. The California Coastal Commission and many other agencies have been working on the issues for several years now. The commission just awarded another $50,000 grant to study some of the areas most at risk in Humboldt County. John Ford is the director of Humboldt County Planning and Building and our guest on the Jefferson Exchange. Hi, John.
Hi, Jeff. Thanks.
Thank you for having us. So a few different things conspire to put Humboldt County's coastline at risk. Can you explain what some of the factors are?
Well, as you mentioned, one of the things that's going on in along the entire coast of California is that there is a projection that sea levels will rise over the course of the next century and beyond. And some of that's expected to be in the neighborhood of about 5 feet along the entire coast of California by the year 2100. In Humboldt County, there's a little bit of a unique scenario making that a little bit more significant because of where we lie in relationship to the San Andreas Fault and other things, is that the land is actually lowering while sea level is going up. And so we could see somewhere between 25 inches and maybe 5 to 6 feet of increase by 2100.
So we're essentially possibly doubling the effect of a rise in sea levels. I mean, if you're talking 5 feet sea level rise and 5 feet land level fall, that pretty much gets you 10 feet.
Well, it wouldn't be that significant. Okay. The amount of decline is not nearly that much. It's maybe 18 inches per century. So it will have an effect, but it is not doubling or exponentially increasing the impact.
Okay, but that is land subsidence caused by plate tectonics then, land rising?
Right.
All right. So, I mean, obviously the weather systems that hit Humboldt are different from the systems coming in off the Gulf of Mexico, but I wonder if in recent days you've had a few uneasy feelings about home while watching the events in South Texas.
Well, anytime you see other people suffering from natural disasters, it gets a little uncomfortable. And, you know, one of the things that even watching some of the things that go on in Humboldt County right now, which is the tides and king tide, we had one this last year that kind of put the water level around Humboldt Bay right up, it felt like, to the very top of some of the dikes and some of the networks that have been constructed to retain the bay and the sea. And so it kind of brought home the fact that a king tide and a storm could change dynamics pretty dramatically.
Let's talk about some of the structures that have arisen over the years, because there is a system of dikes in Humboldt County, so that implies that the land was already fairly low-lying to begin with. So, I mean, how extensive that system of dikes and what kind of shape is it in?
Well, there's about 41 miles of dikes around Humboldt Bay, and they were constructed really to reclaim land that is largely used for grazing right now. And so you're right, that was probably all either lowland, wetland, perhaps even marsh at one point. The bay has been retained back. But those dikes are all on private property, and they're all privately owned, so there's no comprehensive management district or anything like that to maintain them. So they basically have been sitting there for perhaps as long as 100 years without significant improvement or significant maintenance.
And there has already been a vulnerability assessment. I mean, where did it see some of the greatest issues, both geographically and with systems?
Well, we are actually in the process of preparing a vulnerability assessment. There have been a couple of studies that have done just showing areas that we would expect to see inundation from sea level rise, but that doesn't quite get to the true understanding of vulnerability because that is affected by different factors. Just in Humboldt Bay alone, there's about five different segments that probably need to be looked at a little differently. You can't just look at it quantitatively over the entire area. But the area between Arcata and Eureka actually has quite a bit of grazing land that is protected by dikes in those areas. And so it's conceivable that those areas without some help could be some of the first to see inundation.
We are talking about potential inundation on Humboldt County's coastline because of rising sea levels and falling land levels. John Ford's the director of the Humboldt County Planning and Building Department. You can join our conversation on the Exchange at 800-838-3760 by phone, by email, jx@jeffnet.org. Is there a pretty easy measure, John, at this point where you could say an inch of sea level rise equals X number of feet of shoreline disappearing?
I don't think it's that simple. The impacts will occur gradually and over time. The first thing that we're likely to see is impacts such as I mentioned earlier with a king tide event, and then perhaps wave or wind-driven waves that may start to flow up into streets and start to flood streets. And the first thing we'll start to see are nuisance impacts, because water just doesn't stay static and is not just flat, especially when there's tidal influences and also wind influences. So that's why the study to first determine what's vulnerable and from what sources is really critical. And then the most recent grant that we have to develop adaptation strategies is really critical, because then we can start to look at, okay, when we start to see these kinds of things, here is the response, the range of responses that are available to us for certain places and infrastructure. And obviously, infrastructure becomes a very important part of the dialogue, because you don't want to lose key infrastructure, whether it be water, sewer lines, or roads and highways.
Well, yeah, and you mentioned between Arcata and Eureka being some potential impacts there, because as you look out from 101, the water doesn't seem very far away and level at all.
Correct.
And for that matter, the railroad stands between the road and the water, doesn't it?
Well, there's the railroad bench there, and you will also notice there's a couple points in there where there were some culverts that have been completely washed away. And so the highway now really is the line of defense, because the old railroad alignment has lost its integrity, and so the highway becomes the really the berm that exists between the ag land to the east and the bay.
So, John, while study and assessment goes on, are there any lines that have already been drawn in the sense of restricting building in areas that seem most susceptible to inundation, either from big events like king tides or just the general overall rise?
The county has not taken that position, no. One of the things that has also happened recently is that FEMA has put out new maps showing where there's the potential for flooding just under the existing condition and along the coastlines. And there are some areas that are vulnerable to that are existing developed areas. King Salmon, Fields Landing are some of the most impacted there and are expected to be the most impacted from sea level rise. And so we've not taken any position yet that there can't be development. I would like to steer away from having a categorical no development kind of approach. We really want to look at how to protect property and improvements as a first priority. But part of the question that needs to be answered is at what cost and is it feasible in the long run?
Yeah, that was the next logical question. So how much are you going to spend to keep building buildings in areas that might get inundated from time to time versus just picking up and moving the whole thing inland or upland?
Yeah, no, that is going to be the big decision point, I think, for some places. And those are hard decisions.
We're talking about the encroachment of the ocean upon the coastline in Humboldt County with John Ford, who's the director of the Humboldt County Planning and Building Department. Sea levels are rising, and there is land subsidence as well. The land is falling, in essence, from plate tectonic activity because this is an active seismological zone. You can join us on the Jefferson Exchange as we talk about approaches from here. What do you think should be done in terms of both assessment and then in action once the assessments are made about which areas are most vulnerable? Join us at 800-838-3760 by phone, by email, jx@jeffnet.org. Now, there has been an adaptation planning working group, the APWG, for, what, 4 years now?
There has been various groups meeting for probably at least 4 years, working around Humboldt Bay, yeah.
And so there's already been some California Coastal Commission money in there before this most recent grant, hasn't there?
Absolutely, yes. Mm-hmm.
And what kinds of things have been identified, or what sorts of things have been set up to push the process forward?
Well, there has been some analysis showing there has been some inundation mapping. So we know that there are areas that are, if you just look at a two-dimensional model of inundation, that areas are likely to be inundated in like 2050, 2100. That doesn't really describe the danger or the risk. So, like I said before, it's more dynamic than that. Some areas will be more affected by tidal influence. Some areas will be more affected by wave run-up. If you're closer to the mouth of the bay, the mouth of the harbor, you're going to have some direct tidal influence and wave action going on there, which is going to dramatically affect what would happen in terms of inundation, what would happen in terms of short-term impacts and longer-term impacts. And you've got to be able to account for that and address that in terms of any adaptation strategy. So that's really what we're working on now, is to try to understand what the risks are and then develop a response to that.
So, I mean, as people look way down the road, and I know we're talking, you know, the rise by 2050 or 2100 is going to be beyond most of our lifetimes. But, right. I mean, when you talk about things like moving away from the water, you know, as a lower end sort of thing toward, you know, potentially huge things, are we talking even envisioning things like, you know, gates out in the bays or something to regulate the flow of tides like that happens in the Netherlands?
That has been brought up in preliminary discussions with people. I don't know that it's ever been brought up as an actual serious policy to be adopted by any local governments. And that really gets beyond just one agency. That's probably beyond Humboldt County alone. That would be something that would require the involvement of the federal government, state government, local government, including Humboldt County. Eureka, Arcata would all need to be involved in that.
So is there still some siloing of agencies in Humboldt County and the city of Eureka and the city of Arcata and other districts and things like that? I mean, or are you generally all still talking to each other a fair amount about the issues that are involved here?
No, I think we have pretty good communication. I'm in regular communication with both Arcata and Eureka. Our public works communicates pretty regularly with the districts and things. So I think that there's a fair amount of communication and coordination and strategy and conversation just in terms of understanding what some of the constraints are. And so I think the communication is good. This area actually is very good. We don't live in silos as much as, you know, maybe some other areas do.
And how well do you think the public understands the risks and the issues at hand here with the sea level rise?
Well, probably not as well as hopefully at the end of this process the public will. We have had one public outreach meeting primarily for agricultural landowners, and in that meeting, Arcata, Eureka all participated. The county all participated with the Coastal Commission, and it was pretty well attended. There was at least 150 people there. And so we plan on continuing to have these kind of public outreach discussions. The first real part of this process, once we have a little bit more understanding of the danger analysis is to begin to educate the public so that when we begin to have discussions about adaptation, that there's a recognition of what the potential hazards and dangers are, that we're not just coming up with strategies and policies that aren't based in some scientific fact.
There have been some fix-up work already. I remember having a conversation earlier with somebody else in that area about repairing of tidal gates and things like that that allowed water to get back out to the bay once it had gotten past the dikes, for example.
Yeah. Yeah, one of the things that we're actually seeing is that the there's flooding that's happening behind some of the dikes, and the water level actually is now below or was below the old tidal gates. And so there's a need to modify those tidal gates to allow the water to completely drain out. Otherwise, it will drain out to a point, but then it won't completely drain out.
And so we have a question here from John, no town given, wants to talk about sewage systems. We talked about infrastructure. You mentioned sewer and water briefly. I think I kind of focused on roads and railroads. So let's go into that aspect of things. I mean, you probably do have a fair number of buried utilities like sewer and water lines in areas that are at risk for inundation.
Right. And probably Arcata and Eureka are come to mind first and foremost. Arcata's wastewater treatment plant is clearly in an area that would be subject to further inundation, and so is Eureka's. The county's primary interest is with the sewer lines and protecting those, but the actual treatment plants are in areas that are subject to inundation, and strategies to protect them or identify a point at which they can no longer remain viable at that location need to be developed.
John Ford, again, our guest on the Jefferson Exchange. He's the director of the Humboldt County Planning and Building Department. We're talking in general terms about sea level rise in Humboldt County, which is more pronounced perhaps than in some other places because the land is also sinking from tectonic forces, and there's a recent $50,000 grant from the California Coastal Commission to help study some of the most affected areas in Humboldt County. You can join the conversation on the exchange at 800-838-3760 by phone, by email, jx@jeffnet.org. You mentioned King Salmon Fields Landing, and I see that Fairhaven Fintown are part of this grant as well. What specific sorts of things get done there?
Well, that's going to be really difficult to navigate, in all honesty, because those are residential areas, and the effects in those areas could be fairly pronounced because those areas are fairly close to sea level right now, and so flooding, inundation, wave action could have a pronounced effect there. One of the other things that we're working through a little bit is that there's areas along Humboldt Bay that are still within the jurisdiction of the Coastal Commission, and so we need to collaboratively develop approaches to help people with residential property know what the dangers are, know what the risks are, and then what the long-term solution is.
Is there any discussion, John, of things like restoring older dikes or building new dikes? And if so, I wonder if either of those activities potentially has great requirements under CEQA, the California Environmental Quality Act.
There are those discussions. And in terms of even developing districts or something like that to maintain some of the dikes, some of the structures that are in place, and then obviously there are environmental effects that are associated with doing that, and those need to be evaluated and when that's done. So CEQA always comes into play in those areas. One of the things that we need to measure, though, is the feasibility of doing that, because in some of those areas the groundwater is already fairly high. And one of the things that we're starting to notice, particularly during king tides with rainfall, is that those areas, the groundwater gets pushed up to the surface. And so a significant amount of sea level rise could result in those areas flooding just from natural groundwater purposes, because we discussed earlier those areas were already kind of marshy and are reclaimed. Well, now with sea level rising, the water level in those areas could rise to the surface, and so they could be permanently wet, regardless of what we do with dikes and other improvements to prevent seawater from getting into that area.
Oh, just because the water table itself is now higher than it was at one time?
Correct.
So I see that the grant funding will support public meetings to discuss the potential effects of sea level rise and then help develop some policies and regulations out of that. Do you have a tentative schedule even at this point for when you might begin having public meetings?
We do not have anything put on the calendar yet, but it will be within the next couple months. We will start public outreach.
Mm-hmm. And so it sounds like this is a first chance to make abundantly clear to people that there's an issue here in Humboldt County.
There is something, yes. We're looking at it, and I know I saw on a local blog that people are pretty skeptical about, some people are pretty skeptical about sea level rise. And so, you know, part of the discussion just has to be to look at the things that we see going on with the rising king tides and things like that to begin to understand that this is something that is important to take a look at, important to plan for. If we have a plan and it doesn't happen, yeah, we spent money on the planning, but then we don't have anybody displaced. But if we run into a situation where there is sea level rise and inundation and we don't have a response, that would be really awful.